Today is November 7th, Tuesday, and I am not Wendell.
We've heard your cries, your poorly formatted and horribly spelled comments on the YouTube video and in the forum. You wanted more Krista in the news. Well, this week you get more Krista in the news.
That's mostly because Wendell is out on business.
He's on assignment infiltrating a Russian botnet, communist botnet.
Or just a regular business trip, but you didn't hear that from us.
All right, so we got some special Krista-specific nuggets in the news. You got to stick around to find out what they are. But first, we'll do the follow-ups. Let's talk about Equifax. Surprising, maybe no one. We've talked about how these guys, they suspiciously sold a bunch of stocks right before the hack was announced. And
all four of them.
Yeah, it turns out the SEC thought that was fine.
Well, they did an investigation, and they did like 60 interviews with a bunch of different people, and they said every single one of them was fine. I think the last one to sell was like the very beginning of August, and the hack was announced the 22nd.
Now, but the hack didn't happen before all those sales. And they still claim that these very powerful men in this organization knew nothing
about
the breach. Why would you tell your CFO that you're about to lose a third of your value because you've screwed up terribly? SEC believed them, so who are we to argue, right? And it's rare that during the follow-ups, we get good news. It's almost always just more bad news and just situations getting worse. But this one, this is out of Canada. If you'll remember, Canada said, hey, you cannot, if we tell you to block something, you must block it all the way around the world. And this judge said, I don't think so.
That's not cool. Yeah. This is America, and we don't listen to your shitty rules.
Now, Canada is not the only one to do this. Of course, the EU has come up with similar rules that, like, yeah, if we tell you to delete it, you can't have it anywhere. And this is a movement to say, no, you don't get to control what goes on in other countries. Now, it'll be interesting to see Google in Canada. You know, Canada could get pissy about this and be like, you gotta get out of here. So, I don't know, though. Google's very powerful. Who do you think's more powerful, Google or Canada?
I kind of think Google, because Google's probably more ruthless. They say don't be evil, but I don't think they stick to that anymore.
And, they've probably got less money, but they don't have as much debt. So,
yeah.
But yeah, I'm sure the people of Canada don't mind this decision. Just the Canadian government.
Just the Canadian government.
Not big fans of it. Well, we talked about mergers. That's been in the news lately, of course. We got big mergers coming on the way. Well, the Justice Department has stepped in, and they're taking a look at the AT&T Time Warner, and they think it might be antitrust.
So it's not going to happen.
Well,
hopefully. Hopefully.
I think it probably will happen, but they might have to make some concessions. You know, they might have to promise. They might have to deliver some duffel bags full of money.
They have to make a promise to be good.
Yeah.
And by be good, they mean just hand over their money.
Right. But it is nice that they're, you know, at least make an effort.
Some kind of effort.
Pretend to care. Maybe it's better, maybe not. Well, the Sprint and T-Mobile merger, on the other hand, it's not going to happen. Sorry. If you'd bought those stocks waiting for the
inevitable,
the big spike, no, they've called it off. I think T-Mobile was the one to balk.
T-Mobile didn't want it.
They were giving up too much, they said, and so they've backed out. Sorry.
They're going to keep their cool pink branding.
Probably actually a great thing for wireless prices and wireless customers and everybody except T-Mobile and Sprint. So
Appalachian Wireless. Still going to make it. That's a local one around here.
That's one. They bought all of the rights before anybody ever could guess that anybody would want.
Want that, yeah.
Wireless in those areas. And they've become filthy, filthy rich from it. Smart people. Not scrupulous, but smart. Well, Bitcoin. $7,000. Now, we always check, right? What was it?
It was like $7,500
right before the news. Amazing. It just keeps on going. And of course, 7,000 was a new record. I think 7,600 is where the high water mark is right about now. It might have gone above that.
Well, people were asking us in chat the other day, like, do you think it'll hit 10K by Christmas? And it's like, well,
a lot of people have predicted 10K. Now we do have, I think they've scheduled, or not scheduled, but predicted the November 16th or around that time is the next fork. And that's the SegWit 2X. Whether or not the block is going to be 1 megabyte or 2 megabytes. And, you know, a lot of people saying that's going to knock it back down, but the last fork, it shot up in price.
It doesn't seem to be decreasing anytime soon.
It's, I don't know. I don't know what to do. I have some Bitcoin and I'm terrified to sell it. Cause like,
what if it keeps going up?
What if it goes to 10K? Man, I'm going to have to put a down payment on a house soon.
That would be nice to have. 10K. Use those Bitcoins.
Well, and so we have the Canada story. That was nice, right? Now we have another good news. This is so rare. And the follow-ups.
To the guy who commented last time, he was like, I really wish you guys would do a couple more good news stories. This is for you. We've got like 3 or 4 good news stories this week.
As if we can control the news.
Yeah.
So we've talked about this before. This is in Louisville, which is near us. They are the latest city to get Google Fiber. And the incumbent ISPs have done everything they can, just this guerrilla warfare to stop that from happening.
They didn't win.
And one of the things that they do is they have the right-of-way on the poles, on the utility poles, and there's this rule that you have to wait for the company that owns it to come by and move their stuff so you can use the pole. And this suit has given them the right to move that themselves. Google can go in and actually scoot AT&T's crap over and install their own stuff without waiting 6 months.
Which, I mean, in some ways, it's just easier, but I understand why they don't want it.
Yeah, because
then that just takes away from their business. But
it's a way better product.
But think how many technicians right now are like, oh, I don't have to go out and deal with that this weekend.
Yeah. Well, but also they might be thinking, you know, am I going to have a job?
Oh, it's true. Yeah.
Because it could be bad.
They're
but yeah.
Work for Appalachian Wireless.
They can spend Christmas with their children and it'll be the last one.
Oh, happy stories this week. Happy ones.
Well, we've talked about the car-to-car communication. A lot of people, all the coverage on this was that this was a negative story, that car-to-car communication is this amazing thing that we desperately need. So what this is, if you've never seen it, we talked about it a lot. Every 10 seconds, they want new cars to have this common thing that it reports speed, direction, I think GPS coordinates, 10 times a second.
The speed is probably the most important there.
Right. So the cars are aware of all other cars on the road. They know where they are and so forth. Well, the Trump administration has sort of put that on the back burner. Obama started it and it was going to go into effect, I think, early next year or sometime. But now they're saying, well, maybe not. And I think the car companies themselves supported this, though. So they'll probably still install this.
But it just won't be activated.
It won't be a standard yet. So who knows? But if you buy a new car, just assume it's going to do this.
It's going to be reporting information about your car to other cars.
And if you think, wait, won't it be reporting all that to the police and government as well? Yes.
Yes, probably.
There will probably be boxes on the side of the road listening.
Well, I also, like, what about kids? Like, what if you're in a neighborhood with kids or whatever?
You got to chip your kid.
You got to chip your kid so it can also report to the car network how fast the kid is moving, whether they've got the radio on.
We should probably get started on a business that does that. Because I think that people would do that.
There's already something that does something similar, I think.
The battery power would be the problem. Because cars have easy access to power. You have to have some sort of battery pack for the kids.
Yeah.
I don't know. We'll think about it.
We'll think about it. Don't steal it. That's copyright, level 1 text.
Now, when I'm into some kind of fiction, like a movie or a book or something, I love it when there are two characters who hate each other bitterly. But a greater evil emerges and they have to work together. I mean, isn't that great, right?
That is. That's a good one.
And that's how I think about Apple and Qualcomm. Because they hate each other and they're constantly suing one another. But when the chips are down and they need to sell horrible consumer electronics, they always come together and they get it done.
Oh, but, I mean, they're arguing here, though.
Well, they've been arguing. And like I say, it's always that sort of like frenemy kind of thing, right? It's like, yeah, we hate each other, but we'll get it done. But now Apple is finally threatening the ultimate thing. They're threatening dropping the Qualcomm parts from all of their products.
And just using Intel chips instead.
Intel, I think there's another tech something that's in the mix, but not Qualcomm. And that's huge if you're Qualcomm, because I don't know.
I'm sure that's a good percentage of their profits.
Very healthy percentage. Now, of course, Qualcomm does provide, I think like all the new Pixel phones are Qualcomm's. You know, they do some of those other Android companies and stuff like that. But Apple would be a huge loss. So maybe it's just saber rattling, but I don't know.
That's a good phrase, saber rattling. I've never heard that before.
You've never heard saber rattling?
No. It's a good term, though. It's a very descriptive.
Well, you know, like back in the day, your generals, when you lost a war, you gave up your saber.
Yeah,
like,
that
was a big deal. And so rattling is like, you know, we're going to fight.
But yeah, but they don't actually. You know, I get it, but I've never heard it before. It's a good phrase.
I'm sure some of the people in the audience have also added that to their repertoire now.
They're like, oh, that's a good phrase. Yeah.
Now, we're going to do a special segment this week. It's going to be a design minute with Krista.
Just a minute. I found this icon earlier this week. This is one of my favorite rebranding websites.
Is the one on the left the old one?
That's the old one.
That's garbage.
Yeah, I don't like that one
It looks like two magnets. What's that supposed to represent?
No one knows. And of course, like, this is the thing with Canadian branding. They always use the maple leaf. Like, literally every company that says it's from Canada, this is here. This is for, like, Canada Snowboarding Association. But the new icon is so good. It makes me angry how good this icon is. Because first, you know, obviously it looks like a mountain. It's an upside down maple leaf. The black diamond shape is the hardest ski level, like the hardest slope level.
Now, I didn't know about the black diamond thing.
Yeah.
So,
or it's one of the hardest.
Not being a snowboarder.
Not many mountains to snowboard on.
I'm also not particularly impressed by design things. Just, I don't know. They don't touch me on the level that they do to you. But it is, I can see.
It's great.
Clever.
Yeah. It's really good, and it's got the nice, you know, figure ground reversal. It's going to scale down really well, which is something that I often struggle with when I'm making an icon. Two color, easy to print.
As we know, when you're printing t-shirts, two colors is cheap.
Yeah, well, actually, you could even do one color with this, which is even cheaper. It's so good. The application, scroll down a little bit. I think it looks best in black and white or, like, over photography, like you see here. Keep going down, though. They've got some like newer stuff with these like really bright colors. It's like the Memphis style design where it's like really kind of 90s. I personally don't like this, but I could see how their target audience would.
Would be snow hipsters.
Snow people, you know, younger probably, you know, super into snowboarding and skiing and things like that and being like, wow, this is really
cool. Girl snowboarding camp.
Yeah.
That's sexist.
It's blue though. Like it's bold colors.
Look at that.
The gradient. We should get some gradient tank tops in our store.
Now, here's the problem, though. What? It's a tank top, but snow.
Yeah, you're not going to be wearing that. Usually, your base layer would be like long sleeve. It would be like a silk, I'm sure, like a polyester.
Is there a zipper on this hat?
Oh, you gotta look radical, man.
What is this? Is it like a pouch to keep your weed in up there? What is that?
I don't know why you'd wear a cap either. I guess like this makes sense, like a toboggan. But I wouldn't wear like just a regular cap.
The goggles make sense. Oh, look at these winners here.
Yeah. But that logo is really nice, though.
Yeah. Again, I don't really appreciate logos. Now, I remember from some of the stuff you talked about before, everybody was always like the FedEx logo.
It's got the hidden arrow. Meaning. Yeah.
Yeah. But it's not really hidden. I feel like the
No, it's not. It's not hidden at all.
But the maple leaf part of it, like that's not a very good looking maple leaf. You know, it's kind
no,
of,
it's not like the standard Canadian maple leaf for sure, but it's enough that it still gets across that this is for Canada, I think.
Yeah.
And it looks like a mountain, and you know, it's just a good solid icon, like conceptually, and it turned out really well.
So I suppose if you are into snowboarding and or Canadian, which are you allowed to be one without the other? let us know. Is that a crappy brand? I wonder if they have good products.
Well, no. It's like the Snowboarding Association, like people who like make the rules and stuff for competitions.
Oh wow.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's very, very hip branding. I'm surprised that they got that kind of branding past a committee. I'm sure that's like massive. But I guess it's kind of a cool sort of brand. So I'm sure that they can kind of, it's younger probably.
How old do you think the snowboarding committee is?
Do you think there's probably like some 60-year-old guys on there who are like, they've been there since the start and they make the rules, but they're also hip?
It's a good question. I don't know anything about snowboarding.
We should have done more research on this story before we reported it.
It's not important. It's all about the design.
It is about the design, but you can get better appreciation for how hard it was to get it through the committee.
Well, let's segue seamlessly into government stories from that. Because it is a government regulator, right?
Yeah, a snowboard regulator. Not really a government regulator, but it's a regulator.
What do they decide? Like
rules and like competitions and I'm sure that kind of thing. Okay. Things of that nature. A governing body got their Twitter account deleted this week.
In fact, I don't know if you guys have ever heard of this guy, Donald Trump.
It's real obscure.
Yeah, apparently he's popular on Twitter and... So there was a Twitter employee who it was his last day. Was it a he?
I'm pretty well. I don't. It's kind of ambiguous the way they word it. I think it was a he, but.
Yeah, I don't think they're trying to give any information on this guy so he doesn't get a visit.
Yeah.
So on his last day, he decided he was gonna shut down Trump's Twitter, and he did. And for 7 minutes.
Oh, was it only 7 minutes?
Or maybe it was 11.
I thought it was like a couple hours before they got back up.
Because you got to think like. There are people who, and it's probably Trump's enemies,
who are just constantly refreshing that page.
Just monitor his Twitter constantly. And as soon as they saw that, I bet the hashtags just exploded.
Oh, I'm sure. So, that was probably trending. I didn't see it on our Twitter, but.
But yeah, it wasn't Twitter actually banning him. It was just a rogue actor within Twitter who has now left the company. And not really a big deal, but.
Do you think he still got a severance package? After doing that?
That's a good question.
I bet he didn't.
I've seen articles where people have said, for sure, Trump is going to sue that guy or do something. But he needs to get a lawyer because
I don't know if I would care that much if I was Trump. But
there's a lot of people pounding.
He does take criticism poorly.
Well, you think? There's a lot of people pounding the drum that Twitter is a utility at this point. I don't agree with that.
I don't agree with that either, yeah. Really.
I mean, we're giving it way too much
power and
credence.
Say.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's like, oh, God.
Someone tweeted something.
It's not that important, but a lot of people getting banned, the right wingers, and they're saying we must,
we need this platform.
I think Trump's kind of on that team because technically Twitter could ban Trump. I mean, it's within their rights to do so.
Yeah. He would have to violate a term, but I mean, they could just do it if they didn't like him too.
But you know who could block Twitter? Putin.
Vlad. Old Vlad.
So we've talked about the, Russia, they control their internet quite a bit, and they won't let Wikipedia, one of the things that they interestingly.
Yeah, that was one of the worst ones. I was like, Wikipedia, but where am I supposed to read about penicillin?
So there's a lot of pornography. They block pornography, and of course, anybody who criticizes his regime gets blocked. But up until recently, you could use a VPN. Back was it July?
It was like very end of July when they passed this legislation.
No more VPNs. Well, Wednesday was the day that went into effect. So if you're using a VPN in Russia on Wednesday and you hear a knock at your door, escape through the back window.
So watch this news immediately on Tuesday.
Yeah.
Because it will be blocked.
And they've put that into effect. No more tunneling through their firewall. No more using VPNs.
Look at that picture of him.
He's
he looks real jolly. Oh no, what is that? It's like he's trying to emote something, but I don't know what it is.
How dare you question me? Like that's how I would caption that.
He looks like his eyebrows say happy, but his mouth says upset.
Maybe you're just bad at reading Russian emotes. We'll talk about that later on.
Oh,
in the news.
Good segue. Too bad that story's not till later.
Yeah. Well, so here's the opposite of good news when it comes to government. After you get two good stories, you have to pay with like six bad ones. So we talked about the Royal Canadian Mounted Police and other Canadian government agencies. They love to use stingrays and phone surveillance equipment. These, if you're not familiar with these, they pretend to be a cell tower and they harvest your data, and law enforcement uses them to catch you doing things with your phone. If you're going to commit crimes, don't use a mobile phone.
Use your burner phone. I guess they
no, don't even use your burner phone.
I guess they can still get that. Don't listen to me.
So the thing about it is they had these cases where people said, okay, prove to me how you got this information because I don't believe that you have it because there's no way you could have this. And in the past, they actually threw out some cases.
Like, well, yeah, because you'd kind of need a warrant for some of that stuff, right? You can't randomly grab it.
It's not about that it was illegal to do it. It's about they were not willing to give up how they did it because it's a secret. They don't want you to know what equipment they have.
And where it is, I guess.
So when people would be like, okay, I get to discover what evidence you have against me, show it to me. They'd be like, all right, we're going to cut you a deal. And it would be like house arrest or something. One of them was famously a murder case where a bunch of people were involved and they got real, real easy sentences because they were like, okay, prove it. And the state was not willing to do this. Well, a judge has ruled that they won't have to do that anymore because they don't have to tell you when they use one of these things as evidence against you. It can be a secret and that's okay.
It's not okay, though.
Specifically, not just that they use one of these things, but the make and model. Like, they don't want people to know what they have. But we do know...
Because then people will find ways around it.
Or, you know, these companies actually make you sign non-disclosure agreements. Well, like, if you're a police agency and they sell you this thing, they're like, no matter what, you can't disclose that you have this. Or it's like a financial penalty. So... It's a real, real weird situation.
Slimy sort of things. Thing to do.
So, again, don't use your phone if you're going to commit crimes. Just don't do it.
Use carrier pigeon.
I'm always amazed when I watch TV and these criminals are always on the phone with each other. And I know it's a plot device and the writing, but it's like nobody would do that unless they're stupid.
Well, no, maybe they do. I mean, I was going to say I've known some people in my time who were pretty stupid, but.
Were they criminals?
Well, kind of.
Well, if you want to avoid the police, one thing you might use is Tor, right? You know, hide that IP address. Well, bad news if you haven't updated your Tor recently. They call it turmoil.
Turmoil. Someone's real pleased turmoil. With themselves. They know your IP. They know your real IP.
Yeah. If you have not updated this, they've found a problem. Now, they did never detect it in the wild. This is one of those, like, security researcher found it and was like, oh, you could do this. It's a problem with the file protocol in Firefox. If you use, instead of HTTP, it's just file. That will actually leak your IP address. So if you were downloading pictures or something like that and you clicked on a link that used that file protocol, they know your IP address. Bad news. Take precautions. Well, so I guess I can't. We debated, is this good news or bad news?
I think it's kind of good news.
Chris is kind of on this guy's side. So we're all.
I kind of like him.
We're familiar with botnets, right? They do horrible things. They turn off people's heat. They infect your cameras and they, you know, DDoS and stuff. But what about botnets that are just a little bit evil? You know, just kind of evil.
This one didn't leak anyone's financial information. It didn't do anything that bad.
All it did was send spam.
Which is annoying.
Yeah.
But spam not really annoying. That bad in the grand scheme of things. But he used it to pay for college. he's wanting higher education. He's doing what he has to do to improve himself. And that's what America's about.
So this is from 2012. This guy was actually caught in 2012. And he's just now getting sentenced. That's amazing, isn't it?
That's 2017. That's like 4 years. Wow.
He wasn't acting alone either. And he was young. I don't even know if he was 18 at the time. Obviously,
but he was really young. And he was working with adults to run this.
Somewhere around college age, whatever. But anyway, he had access to this botnet. He would sell access to it. So he wasn't even the one sending the spam. He was just selling you access to a botnet. Do what you want with it. He used that to pay his way through college. And now he's in the cybersecurity industry. Working against these types
of
things.
What a baller.
So
give this guy a movie.
When it came time to sentencing, he got a slap on the wrist. He's not going to be punished horribly for his botnet. And
violating the ICANN or whatever, iSpam Act or whatever.
Spam.
Can spam, that's it. Of all the things.
But that's definitely, you know, the old ask for forgiveness rather than permission.
Yeah.
Definitely worked out for this guy. So,
I hope he went to a really expensive college. Like, I hope it wasn't a state school. I hope he, like, just took someone for all they were worth.
Well, speaking of horrible security, of course, the new iPhone 10, which we like to call the iPhone X because Apple doesn't like that. It's got this great new feature where it just looks at your face and it unlocks.
And it unlocks. Which, I mean, that's been around for a while, but I think it's the first time it's been on a phone, correct?
Well, they claim that this is so good that, you know, if you're wearing sunglasses or
you age,
you grow a beard or whatever. And the problem is when you sign up on your developer, you can add just one little okay box to your app and get people's faces off of their phones.
You have to consent. You have to opt into it. Right. But I mean, who is paying attention to that on apps? Usually people just install them.
It's going
to
be like, oh, terms and conditions. Yep. I read those. Okay, let's go.
Apple's adamant that, oh, no. This is not for advertising. This is not for anything bad. And like, we'll make sure we kick apps off if they're doing anything bad with it. But I mean, they kind of have to catch them first.
Yeah. They're saying it's for, like if you're going to play a game, it could put your face on the character in the game, that kind of thing. But
kind
of
cool, I guess.
We've seen a lot of, and one thing we've seen a lot of that makes this scary is where an app is popular and then somebody buys it.
Oh yeah. Someone less kind.
And they use that to push malware or steal your data or something like that. I'm sure that's going to happen. And all of a sudden you've got, I mean, think about like, these camera things that add filters and stuff like that, you know,
yeah, it's
got
like your face Snapchat data and stuff. Yeah.
And yeah, it's, use caution when using the face unlock. Maybe not
all of you guys who are buying iPhone X's.
Oh, they're out there.
You think in our audience? I don't know.
They won't always admit it, but they're there.
I don't know.
Well, continuing the horrible news.
We just got to get through this segment, guys.
It's endemic. As always.
Every episode.
So Verizon, we've talked about, this goes back to Verizon selling your browsing data, right? It affects more than that, but that's the big thing. And if you remember when that went down, the whole argument was you need to get rid of this on a federal level because states, they can make this decision on their own. You should not block us from selling data because it's going to be good for everybody, right? Well, a weird thing happened. After they got their way, of course, Ajit Pai has allowed them to sell your browsing data. That's happening. I think it already happened, if not very soon. And now cities are popping up. We've done the story about California. I think maybe New York was in there. But a bunch of cities
are like,
okay, fine. We have the right to block you at the state level, and we're going to do that. So now
they're like, states can't decide this on their own.
Yeah, which is weird because right before,
wasn't it before? Like, it was like a few months ago. You were saying I hadn't.
So they've written a white paper, and you can go and read it here. It's very, like, it's one of those things you just get angrier
the more you read it.
Yeah, but they're saying no. You should not. States should not be able to make this decision. A federal decision has been made, and you should stop any state that's trying to create more bureaucracy, more rules, which we don't want, of course, to stop private browsing data being sold.
Stop progress is what you mean.
Yeah, they really do. They go there. They're like, this is American capitalism, and it's the spirit of what this country's built on.
I didn't read the PDF. I just read the news article a bit.
So, yeah, that's why it makes you angry. Now, well, okay, so we do have a short reprieve. This is one of your favorite stories.
Yeah, if you're still heated from that last story, but you need a little bit more heat, these guys in Russia have heated their house with Bitcoin mining.
No, it's not a huge house.
It looks pretty tiny from this
20,
picture.
20 meters squared. Yeah, 20 square meters. But still, pretty cool. I don't have any pictures. You have to watch the video.
And we're not going to do that to you.
They're heating this whole thing. And it's Russia, so it's not.
I'm sure it's like cold. It said it was Siberia somewhere, like a small town in Siberia.
So what they're doing now? We read about the French company that was going to, or we reported on that. There was a French company that was trying to do the same thing. They were not using ASICs though. They were using, I think, Intel processors. So they were going to install Intel processors in your home and mine cryptocurrency and let that heat your home.
I bet their house is hotter than mine when it gets cold.
So these guys are using ASICs to mine Bitcoin, and they're using a water loop under the floor. They have under the floor heating. So,
God, so smart.
The ASIC heats the water cycles, and it keeps it warm. I think they said they made
$430.
They're using two miners, and they're making, like just under $500 a month.
That's probably enough to pay your rent in Siberia, right?
Well, it's certainly going to pay the power. These guys are right next to a hydroelectric plant, so they have dirt cheap electricity. And yeah, just
they're living the life.
Yeah,
they're living the dream.
Now you could.
Well, I guess they're in Russia, so maybe not completely living the dream.
Wow. Sorry to our Russian viewers.
Well, they can't watch this after Wednesday anyway. So
you think YouTube's on the block list?
Yeah, probably. If Wikipedia is.
Yeah, maybe. So this is for every 20 square meters of your house, you could add almost $500 a month. That would add up. I mean, some of that is going to be bled off by the electricity cost and the startup cost.
I was going to say, the cost of getting that kind of system put into your house would be insane. And that house is very small.
But I don't think it would be too insane because it's just water, just pumping water. And the ASICs themselves would be expensive. But if you amortize that over 10 years, I'd say you end up making a decent amount of money and free heating.
You're talking about buying a house. He's talking about buying a house.
You think I can find one that's Bitcoin ready?
Bitcoin ready? You should go to a realtor here in town and be like, I need this. And then just watch their face like,
I need full solar and Bitcoin ready.
There's nothing on our list that matches that criteria. Nothing on Zillow.com.
They don't have that filter. It's like, okay, I want two bathrooms,
I want a pool,
four bedrooms, and Bitcoin.
And Bitcoin ready.
Well, Qualcomm. We talked about Qualcomm before. What are they going to do if Apple drops them? You know, it's like when your significant other leaves you and you just don't know what to do with yourself. You know, you're lost.
It's a little heavy.
And so, what are they going to do? They might run into the arms of Broadcom.
And then they'll make back all their money. They'll be happy. They'll post lots of pictures on Instagram of them at the beach together.
You think
kissing on each other?
You think anybody at Qualcomm and or Broadcom are at the beach?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And they're like, they'll post pictures and they'll be like, man, so glad someone else isn't here.
Oh yeah.
Or they'll be drinking like apple martinis together.
Or they'll have a fruit basket, but there won't be any apples in it. So this would be the biggest chip maker merger / takeover ever. And it would actually be really good for Qualcomm shareholders because, you know, they got that bad news. But on this news, the shares went up quite a bit because if you own Qualcomm, you're really excited about this. And that's really the angle this Bloomberg article takes. But I do wonder how this would affect the chip world because, you know, you're bringing the two big ones together.
Probably ultimately probably not great for the consumer, but
well,
good for Qualcomm and maybe not great for Apple.
You got to wonder if Broadcom could get back to the Apple table somehow. You know, get back in on that.
If they were bigger, yeah, probably. We'll have to see. We'll do a follow-up story eventually.
Oh, yeah. That'll make big waves if it happens. Or if it doesn't, that'll be something.
It'll be something to report either way.
Well, one thing, now that Donald Trump has his Twitter back, he has something to tweet about. And that is, he is going to kill, or the Republican tax plan, which, of course, he supports, is going to kill vehicle credit for EVs. That's bad news for one Elon Musk.
Oh, yeah. No electric vehicles.
Now, other places have done this. Is $7,500 at most. It's not always $7,500. I think you get like $4,000, and then for every so many watts that you add to your vehicle or whatever, how big the capacity is, you get more money. And this is a tax credit. It's not like they send you a check, but if you can afford a Tesla,
do you really need?
You're probably getting withholding.
Do you really need the credit if you can afford a Tesla?
Well, of course, rich people don't pay taxes. Now they've had, I think, was it Japan or China? They got rid of credits for electric vehicles, and immediately everyone stopped buying electric vehicles. I mean, $7,500. If you could have gotten $7,500 off of your car, how great would that have been?
I would have had the car paid off by now.
Yeah. So that is huge. People are excited about that, and if it goes away. Now, I don't think Trump's tax plan has been met with a lot of good vibes.
No. Well, one of the other things they wanted to do was get rid of like tax credits if you adopt someone.
Yeah.
Which I thought really sucked as someone who's interested in that.
Well, you know, it's to be fair, that's what he campaigned on. He was like, you know, all this extra crap is going away. So he's doing what he said, but I don't think it's going to pass. So if you want a Tesla, maybe now's the time. Now's not the time in terms of Tesla's productivity. but it might be the time in terms of a tax credit. I don't know how long something like that takes to sunset, but I'd look into it if I were interested in a Tesla, which I'm not.
Yeah.
Because we don't have any charging stations anywhere near us.
Yeah, I guess not.
The other thing that you might want to look into is upgrading to Windows 10. Now, of course, they announced that they were going to end the upgrade program, but there was a loophole.
Yeah, you had to be disabled in some way. So if you pretend to be blind, you can still get your Windows 10 upgrade.
Assistive technology is what they call it. And you just have to agree that, yes, I need assistive technology. You can get your free Windows 10 upgrade, but not after December 31st. So you have until the end of the year. If you're buying a new computer for Christmas and you're getting an old OS on it, I don't know how that would happen.
But it might.
You must do this. You must pretend to use assistive technology within the calendar year.
Does it automatically like set your icon size and stuff to be like obscenely large?
Well, there's different
old person mode.
There's different kinds of assistive technology because there's like
hearing
and color
blind.
So it
reads out everything you highlight.
I don't know if it makes you choose like a version, but I'm sure it's easy to undo if you want to do that. Well, CNN. We don't often talk about CNN, and we don't like CNN. At least I don't. How do you feel about CNN?
I don't really care about CNN. Do you
agree with your president that CNN is fake news?
I don't really agree. I don't know. I don't really like. I don't like any of the only news I read is local news.
Wow.
Because that's what I care about.
You did read all of this news.
I did read all of these articles, but that's because that's like my job. My second job is doing this.
CNN's not doing great.
Trump's, no print media at all or any sort of media.
Trump's tweets about them failing are kind of accurate if you look at the numbers. And they're sort of struggling with, like, what are we going to do? How do we pull the nose up on this thing?
You know what'll work? Putting up a paywall.
Yeah. So they've decided to go with subscription plans.
I don't think this is gonna work. I don't think anyone, like, I don't know anyone, even people who like CNN, I don't think care enough about it to pay for it.
Yeah. So they're looking at different tiers where you get personalities on top of the news.
Personalities.
And yeah. And I just don't think people are gonna go for it.
Who cares about who the caster is, really?
I think the only people that care about the CNN personalities are too old to ever buy digital subscriptions, right?
Yeah, don't. Who is this targeted toward?
It's funny that that's a Wall Street Journal story, and we almost never use Wall Street Journal because they're also a paywall.
Paywall, yeah.
But that one let us through. I don't know why.
Forbes is also that way a lot of times, which is annoying.
Yeah. So CNN, why are they failing? You know, what is the reason that they can't get anybody to watch their cable news program? I wonder, what could it be?
Oh, good segue. Everyone is getting rid of their cable. No one has it anymore.
Just over 500,000 in quarter three have cut the cord. The biggest cut was AT&T for DirecTV. They lost almost 250,000. And you can see the number breakdown here, but bad news. I think that was a 3% loss versus 1.4% loss last quarter three.
And so they're desperate to get people on cable. My boyfriend recently upgraded his internet plan, and they were like, well, it'll be cheaper for you if you just please get cable and we'll give you a better rate. And he did it, but I mean, he doesn't really use it.
I got that same plan, and I have never taken the DVR out of the box. Still in the plastic, because I don't care.
It does have online viewing, which I mean is kind of nice if you're into watching TV with ads.
Yeah.
I forgot how bad the ads were.
They're really bad.
I was trying to watch HDTV and it was like, oh.
They've gotten worse because it's that, you know, sort of a vicious cycle. They're trying to make more money by adding more ads.
But people aren't watching because of the ads. Yeah. It's catch 22.
Yeah. So, you know, what are your favorite celebrities going to do if no one watches them on TV? Of course, I guess they're going to go to Twitter, but maybe there's another way for them to make money.
Maybe they can advertise for cryptocurrencies.
But maybe they shouldn't. So the big Mayweather-McGregor fight, if you guys remember, as Mayweather was on his private jet flying home.
With a bag full of money?
Literally, a bag full of money. Had it stacked up, and he was like, I made so much money, but not as much as I'm going to make with this ICO. So
and then he turns and looks at the camera.
Yeah. Paris Hilton has done some ICO stuff. Various celebrities. Well, the SEC is saying this is actually not legal.
Well, yeah. Not only that, they're also like warning the public. They're like, listen, maybe it's a bad idea to take financial and investing advice from celebrities instead of actual people who know about finances.
Now, the rule here is if you've ever watched investing type stuff or read an article about investing, at the end of it, they have to tell you, it's like, hey, I own this stock. So be aware that I might just be talking crap because I own this stock and I want you to go out and buy it.
I want you to buy it so it'll look good on me.
That it'll go up in price and I will make money on that. So they're saying these people aren't doing that and they need to start doing that immediately. And another thing that they might need to do immediately is buy a Tesla, like we said, because you got to catch that tax break. But the problem is they can't make them fast enough.
Well, yeah, and they have another big loss. They're cutting the Model X. They're cutting a bunch of stuff. They had to cut, like, what was it, 15% of their workforce as well?
Well, they didn't have to. The workforce cut, they chose to. They claimed it was all about performance.
Before Christmas?
Yeah, performance. They say these people suck, even though there's a lot of controversy.
That's what they wrote on the pink slip.
Yeah. Sucks
you suck.
That job. Now,
with
this what we're looking at here, though, is they're cutting back on those other models to try to build that Model 3. Because the Model 3, you know, that's like the cheapest one. That's the big one, the one they expect to sell. But they can't make them fast enough. And they've gone to negative cash flow of $1.4 billion. Now, this, of course, if that tax program does pass, that's going to be real bad. Because on top of that $1.4 billion, you're losing between,
people who might have bought it just because they had the tax break.
Between, you think about, all your cars are going up between $4,000 and $7,000 overnight. Bad news.
That's bad news.
Bad time to be Tesla. But I think he is very comfortable being in debt. I don't think he cares too much about that. He's got all that other stuff going on. Launching rockets and Hyperloops.
Launching rockets.
I think he actually did restore power to Puerto Rico a little bit. So,
like in a neighborhood or a city or?
Some hospitals, I think, he got back online.
Good on him.
Australia. I don't know if he solved the Australian problem. We got to follow up on
that. We have an Australia story today if you're watching this upside down right now.
Now, let's talk about copyright, right? We haven't talked about a good copyright trademark story in a long time. And if you weren't angry over the FCC Verizon white paper, this one should make your blood boil. So let's
want to warm you up a little bit.
Let's look at this photo. All right, this is from, what was the name of the show?
I don't remember the name of it. It's a very old show.
Gunsmoke.
But the story was that this network ran a news story about a really old like high school game. And there was
It was a current high school game.
Oh, was it current?
But because it's high school, who has pictures of it?
Yeah, because no one cares really.
Right.
So this guy was taking pictures of it. And
on his Facebook.
And the news station took his photos and used them without permission.
That was CBS.
Yes.
So it was like a CBS local affiliate or whatever. And this guy tweeted and was like, hey, stop doing that. And then they did it again the next time that high school played because he was like their photographer or something. So he eventually sued CBS because they used his photos.
Without permission.
You're not allowed to do that. Of course, CBS is a big champion of copyright and, you know, trademark, all that stuff. So they can't really argue in the other direction. It's like, oh, we're allowed to do this because we're CBS. No, they've fought hard to champion the copyright stuff. Well, this gentleman, I think he tweeted or used this picture in some format, and they claim that was a copyright violation. Now, if you're thinking to yourself, well, Ars Technica used the picture, so...
But they don't have a beef with Ars Technica. And if they have a way to rub this guy's face in the dirt, they're going to use it.
When contacted about this, they did not deny it. They're like, hey, he sued us, we're suing him. That's just, it's pettiness.
And we have more money, so we're going to win, probably.
Infinitely more money. So it's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out. I suspect if he went to him and he was like, all right, fine, we'll just both drop our cases, they would go for it. But that would still be a loss.
It would be a loss. I want Judge Judy to preside over that case because I feel like Judge Judy would tell them about themselves.
She would call them names.
That's what I know. That's why I liked your show.
Well, have you upgraded your Android phone? Are you getting the nag screen still? Have you gone and have you done it?
I have not.
Are you Oreo yet?
I'm not Oreo.
Well, if you did upgrade Oreo and you had an app with an adaptive icon, it sent you into an infinite boot loop and you had to restore.
The worst kind boot of loops. Cereal. The worst kind.
So yeah, they've got these new adaptive icons, and there was a problem if you name the XML file the same as the image file for the icon, you would lose everything on your phone. Have to go back to factory settings.
That's what a bizarre bug that is.
Yeah.
I bet the designer's like kicking themselves right now too.
The problem is this only happens in hardware. It doesn't happen in emulation. So they tested it, but they didn't test it in hardware.
And they were like, oh, this is probably fine. Probably fine. And they pushed now, it live. And
I wonder, when you have a horrible thing like this, is Nabisco, are they on Oreo, I think?
I think so.
Do you think they get a little upset? It's like, hey, man.
We don't want our name associated with
Oreos
this.
Are all about goodness and wholesomeness and early onset diabetes. We don't want to hear about loop problems.
Got to get the new Minnows.
Are they cheaper?
No, they're the organic Oreos. 10 out of 10 would recommend. They're like softer.
I remember reading that Oreos are not vegan because it's got like animal fat or something in it.
I don't know if the new Minnows are.
I think they are, yeah.
Oh, so that's the new Minnows are good though.
That's the hipster's choice.
They're expensive. You have to buy them on sale.
That should be a Hipster's Choice. Should be
a brand.
A brand name. Yeah. How great would that be?
You think like Great Value versus Hipster's Choice?
Yeah, that'd be. Well, maybe Whole Foods. That could be their store brand.
Was it Hipster's Choice? Another idea to copyright.
Well, we got a little bit of hardware news this week. It's not very exciting.
It's not. Wendell was like, "You guys have to cover this," and it was like, oh, "Okay."
Not to me. I mean,
we did a video on it as well. So.
The 1070 Ti or Ti, I can't remember which one they like. The marketing people are very serious.
I believe it's Ti.
Is it? They want Ti?
I don't know. Well, people in our comments, I think,
but
want Ti.
It's big T, little I, so I think that's Ti. Well, doesn't matter because we're not going to bow and scrape to the marketers. That's the last thing we're going to do. But yes, we do have a video about this if you're interested. Now, the thing about this, the 1070 Ti, I'm going to call it, is I don't think anybody was looking for it.
No, it's just a kick in the face to AMD, I think, more than anything else.
The Vega 56 was, if you could get it at retail, which, you know, who knows if you can. I think the prices have come down a little. Ethereum came down in price, but with Bitcoin rocketing back up, I don't know if it's going to stop people from buying the miners or the cards to mine with. But
they got to heat their house in Siberia.
The Vega 56 at regular MSRP was a better deal than the 1070. In almost all applications. So it seems like NVIDIA was just like, you know what? Let's release a card. Let's get the hype train running a little bit more.
Right around Christmas.
And we'll just release a card that kicks the Vega 56 right in the teeth. And all will be well. And that's exactly what they did here. It's not anything amazing or surprising, but it does edge out the Vega 56, especially if you're paying more than MSRP for the Vega 56, which you often will be. This one, I think... The Founders Edition is $450, which is only $50 different than the 1080. So,
why wouldn't you just upgrade the 1080 at that point?
Just get the 1080, but it's there if you want it. And right before the holidays, they got some press and go watch our video about it. That's really what
we're TLDR.
The other thing, I did not know this was coming at all. Now I don't follow
Razer
mobile.
Well, development.
I don't follow Razer, definitely. I mean,
we do on our Twitter.
They make fine products. I'm not going to crap on Razer, but I did not know that a Razer phone was forthcoming.
I think that they've made sort of I understand why they're calling it the Razer phone. That clock said
that's their brand name.
I know, but like when I hear Razer phone, I think of the really popular like early 2000s model flip phone. It was very thin. There was a silver and there was a pink one. My cousin had a pink one.
I like those phones because you could really abuse them.
They were easily abused and like they could play games and like everyone wanted one. I didn't have one. My cousin did and I was so jealous of her.
Now, when you talk about playing games, that seems to be the focus of the Razer phone. It's all about the gamers. It has a really high resolution screen for a phone.
Monitor.
It has a sync technology, which is like their version of FreeSync, G-Sync. I forget what they call it. It's got really nice speakers, which is like how great can mobile speakers be?
Well, and also, do you want to be on the train playing a game and harassing everybody with your amazing Razer phone?
I've noticed more and more people walking around with just holding their phone music. And just playing the music.
Well,
on
it's
the
probably
speakers.
People with iPhones, right? And they don't have headphones. They don't have a headphone jack.
Can't afford the wireless. Well, the new Pixel also, you have to have wireless headsets.
Ugh.
Yeah. I mean, you can use the dongle, but...
The dongle. That?
So, yeah, this seems to be geared toward gaming. Now, I have never been into mobile gaming. There's no way to control it.
Pixel Dungeon is probably the only one that I really liked.
Turn-based. Turn-based type games where you don't have to react quickly or, you know, actively control. The playable, but I don't know about this. This seems, it's also got a really nice processor. So if you're into mobile gaming, the Razer phone seems like it might actually be okay.
It might be a good pick for you.
I don't know. I don't think we will get one of those to test, but who knows?
Who knows?
Well, the rise of the machines.
It must be monitored. It's like global finance regulators whose jobs are at risk because of the rise of the machines.
Now, this story's a little obscure, I guess I might say. If you read it, you're like, what did they just tell me? Well, we've talked about on this program before that things like insurance and financial planning and stuff like that, AI is proving to be really amazing at that. Like there's a...
Determining if someone's a risk or not.
There's an insurance company that just lets the AI do almost everything. So you sign up, you fill out all the paperwork, you tell it about yourself, it runs the numbers, and it's like, here's how risky this person is. Charge them this much for this plan. And it seems to work great. And you think about how much money do you save? Because you aren't paying any insurance people to deal with that. I think it even adjusts for like accidents and stuff. You know, it figures out. It's like, okay.
It'll know.
We pay this much based on these facts about the case. Well, the powers that be, at least in London, are saying, hey, we need some serious regulation about this because it kind of seems like our jobs are going away.
But they're saying it in a British accent, so it sounds much more authoritative.
And they are taking the argument in a little bit different direction where they're saying, hey, this could get out of control. And what if the AI goes haywire and starts doing weird stuff? Somebody has to watch it. So, but you can almost smell the fear under it.
Please. It's like, please don't take my job.
I'm not qualified to do anything else.
It's too late for me to switch careers.
Don't let the robots take over.
It's going to happen.
So very interesting. If you are in that line of work, you got to watch out for the AI coming for your job. I can see if the AI was just unmonitored and it started issuing insurance plans for $1 covering houses or whatever.
But I mean, having one or two people to oversee that instead of, you know, a whole office full of people who are handling it manually.
Well, they're saying government regulation. So you're going to have to, you can't have any AIs going crazy because you have to prepare documents. It just seems like more bureaucracy.
It is more bureaucracy. That's what that is.
Unfortunately, it will, they'll probably get away with it. And they won't have egg on their face.
A beautiful, wonderful segue to NVIDIA neural network generating photorealistic faces.
This is pretty impressive. Now
they do look really good.
The first, well, that's one of the things we noted about it. They do all look really good, don't they? Like these are very attractive.
It's like
people.
Wow, look how beautiful they are.
This girl up here, she's got crazy eyes.
That's not bad though.
No, she's fine, but you know she's got the crazy eyes. So what you're looking at
compared to everyone else here,
what you're looking at is pure people AI created human beings faces.
Faces, not humans.
So
images.
These people don't exist. But what they did is they took celebrity photos. That's why all these people are so good looking. And they did machine learning on the celebrity photos. So they have one chip that creates the faces. And then they have what they call a discriminator, which sort of looks them over and is like, no, this is wrong. This is not a human.
A literal discriminator.
Yeah, yeah. And so it sits and they go back and forth until they build one of these really beautiful
models. They didn't have Gary Busey with his crazy eyes in this set of photos.
Well, it was just one guy, so he's going to get filtered out as a...
he's going to be discriminated against.
To be beautiful, you have to be symmetrical, and he is not. So
he's not symmetrical.
The discriminator is going to toss him right out.
What's kind of impressive about this as well is, like, in the photos, like, they have people at different angles and stuff. Like, it's not just, like, head-on photos. Yeah. Now there's one like in the top left where like her head is like blurred.
Yeah, they did say that warping and blurring was something that could happen with this. But you see, got some stuff over here too. But really, so let's say you generated all these, you throw two of them out, right?
Yeah, that's still a really good success rate.
Really cool. So NVIDIA, now you're thinking, why would you use this? Well, things like video games where, you know, on the fly.
Generating NPCs.
You can have a different, you're going to populate your world with real faces, different faces every time. So nobody's playing the exact same game. Kind of cool. And of course, you know, more and more as we go into using this kind of thing for movies and broadcasting and stuff like that. You could, like, if you've seen the face rig where they use like the cats and the Twitch streamers.
Oh, yeah. I know what you're talking about. So, as soon as you said cat, I understood. I was like, oh.
Yeah, they got that little Russian blue cat that everybody uses. And yeah.
It's really weird.
Real uncanny valley. But imagine, because these are mathematically produced faces, they could probably adapt that pretty easily. And all that, you just render up a new beautiful persona. Twitch stream is that person.
Wow, that would change Twitch, wouldn't it? Like, everyone on Twitch is beautiful. How weird.
They would have to add boobs. You'd have to be able to render boobs.
That's true. Well, if that's only if you want to be in the IRL category.
Who doesn't?
Who doesn't? Who doesn't want to be at the top of IRL?
Well, it's not just faces that they can create with AI. They can also create horror with AI.
Horror stories from Reddit posts. To be fair, most like Reddit posts from like no sleep are kind of the same anyway. They're pretty formulaic. So,
well, isn't the real horror having to read 140,000 Reddit posts?
Yeah, that is with all their misspellings and this and lol and golded. I'm sorry.
There was one story.
The picture on this one
that it came up with. It was funny. Oh, it says that was one whole tweet of. No.
And then # your turn.
So what this, some MIT people have come up with machine learning that took these Reddit posts and figured out how to start horror stories. It actually does the first paragraph, and then this Twitter account invites other people to continue the story.
To also do it. I feel like Twitter's not really the good... I understand why they use Twitter, because they're wanting it to, you know, learn and people to interact with it, but like Twitter seems like not the greatest place to tell a story because it has such a small character.
And they have to use at least 3 tweets to get these things out. But you know, what if it would be a terrible world, wouldn't it, if all of our horror fiction was just formulaic and predictable.
And predictable.
Oh.
What a tragedy that would be.
So we might not even notice if the AI takes over. And another thing that you might not be noticing.
Is all the bra pics on your phone.
Bra pics.
So many bra pics. Apparently, the iPhone can like categorize your photos after you take them. And one of the weirdest categories that they've found that it's generated has been bra pics.
Bra. Exclusively bra. No panties.
Well.
Just bra. So, this is not in the cloud, so it's not, maybe not a huge... security risk or anything like that.
It's still bizarre. But
if you take some sexy selfies as a lady or a guy.
A guy, if you're wearing a bra.
You can wear a bra. It's going to categorize those on your phone with a tag that says bra and keep them together for your future browsing.
What if you're like looking for something else, like brain? And then will it pull up bra first and then everyone has to see your sexy bra pics?
Do you think a lot of people are taking pictures of brains?
You don't know.
If you're a cross-dressing serial killer, you're
what if you have a category for brand cereal?
Brand cereal? I don't know if the AI would be good enough to get that.
They would just
now,
say cereal.
They
or food, maybe.
This is, of course, impressive machine learning that it can spot a bra pic. And we all know there's lots of bra pics out there. But apparently it will get a little confused by tank tops.
Any sort of low-cut blouse, I'd imagine.
Yeah,
it
seems
understand.
To, if it sees cleavage, it seems to count it as a bra. But still kind of cool that your phone is just... in the background.
It's just helping you.
Judging you. Slut-shaming you for taking those pics.
Oh, I'm sure that'll be the next article.
And, you know, it can't scan your brain. But what if it could? What if we could scan your brain and figure out if you're going to kill yourself?
This was a study done, I can't remember where it's done, but it was done on 30 different people. 15 people identified themselves as not being suicidal, and 15 identified themselves as being suicidal. They were putting in, it was an MRI machine?
Yes, MRI machine. And well, they those 15 people were in therapy, and they had admitted to their therapist they thought about suicide.
And they were shown various words, most of them relating to like death and stuff. And then they took pictures of their brain as they described what that word made them feel. And the study that they did basically, I think it was what, 100% accuracy?
90-some percent accuracy. So what they did is they took all those scans and they fed it into the machine learning, but they kept one out randomly every time. And then based on that machine learning, they'd ask it about that one. And it had like a 97%
success rate
of in saying, determining, I think this person's going to kill themselves. Now, of course, that's out of 30 people.
It's a very small sample size.
But it is incredible what they could do and figure out, you know, what you're thinking about. And kind of terrifying.
I mean, in terms of like practical applications, I feel like it would just be quicker to just do the therapy. But
yeah, it costs a couple thousand dollars to do all the imaging that you need to figure this thing out.
Am I sad or am I not? Let me do thousands of dollars worth of tests.
I mean, I'm sure a lot of people would argue thousands of dollars to save a life, but I don't know if you're guaranteed to save this life.
Well, I mean, it's just diagnosing it. It doesn't treat it. So I think counseling probably is still the way to go. But
you do have to wonder if there will be a day when an MRI can just catch you in a lie or figure out if you're...
Well, that day came in House MD.
A communist.
Which is a fantastic show that got destroyed off Netflix.
Which is, of course, always accurate with reality. Yeah. Just like Star Trek, as we found on this this newscast. Well, I'm glad to say that's the end of the bad news. Well, there's a little bit of bad news, but it's funny bad news.
Yeah, it's all good, kind of good stuff.
Before we get to the feel-good stories, we need to have an Overwatch Minute with Krista.
Woo-hoo! Overwatch World Cup was this weekend, and it's over now. And spoiler, if you haven't watched any of it, South Korea won. I thought it was a little weird. They showed Korea versus the U.S. first, which I thought that would be like one of the matches they'd want to do later, like at the very end, so that they wouldn't get knocked out immediately. Because U.S. and South Korea were kind of the two ones they thought were going to win it.
Is it a seeded bracket tournament? What kind of tournament is it?
Yeah, it's bracket. So, like, whoever got knocked out that first round, like, you didn't get to see the U.S. team again after South Korea beat them.
So, they were probably seeded together, right? Like, they were...
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense.
But it was sad. But, yeah, South Korea won. They destroyed, dominated. Everyone lost. The spectating UI was a lot better this round as well, compared to other tournaments I've watched.
But they do have a human doing that, right?
Yeah, they have four people doing it. Well, Blizzard's released new spectating tools. And before it was really hard, like with all the particle effects and stuff, to tell who was what and what was going on. But they've changed a lot of the color scheme and whatnot. And you can see all people's ultimate charges and now, follow the team fights better.
If you follow us on Twitch, you would know that Krista was it 500 points away from Diamond?
No. I am about 50 points away from Diamond.
Oh, but you have not achieved it this weekend.
I have not achieved it. No, I didn't get to play very much this weekend. I was cleaning the house.
Are you planning this afternoon to...
I might play a little this afternoon.
You're going to get your game face on?
And rank back up.
All right, so next week you have to give us an update.
An update about whether or not I made it to Diamond.
Will you be Diamond?
I'm a filthy plat right now. I'll never make it. I'll never play in the World Cup, but it was fun to watch.
Now, the first paragraph of the story says, not a single viewer that tuned in was disappointed.
I don't think that's true.
I don't know how they would measure that.
Twitch has got special tools that we don't know about.
But it is amazing. How amazing is it that ESPN is covering Overwatch?
Yeah, I was like, I need to find an article to describe this because I watched it directly on Twitch. But I was like, there's actually an article on ESPN about...
League of Legends?
League of Legends is pretty popular,
ESPN too. ESPN Esports, man. I've not been keeping up with ESPN to know that this was a thing.
BlizzCon was this weekend, so they had quite a few tournaments going on.
Now, that, of course, means new skins, right?
Have you got the new skins? No, they announced some, but they haven't released any yet. They've also released a new support character, which I'm excited to try out.
Oh, what's this character's story?
She's Irish, and she's a geneticist. She's kind of like an evil character. She has a lifesteal.
Is she alcoholic?
I don't know enough about her lore to say, but I'm just going to venture and say yes. She doesn't have a very strong Irish accent. Like, I didn't realize she was Irish at first.
That would be a horrible, horrible stereotype, and we would not support it here at Level 1. But you know what else is a horrible stereotype?
Australia being filled with monsters.
Australia, the animals hating the humans and constantly wanting to kill them and or ruin their lives, which
ruining your internet kind of ruins your life. Cockatoos now, chewing on wires.
Look at him.
Look how happy he looks.
He's because he just chewed up some wire. That's why. So cockatoos, it turns out they like to sharpen their beaks. And one great way to sharpen your beak apparently seems to be fiber optic infrastructure.
You should show them the picture, because the picture tells the story better than we ever could.
There it is.
Like just the like frayed bits of wire, like the fluff.
I wonder why it's pink.
I don't know. Maybe it's like to make it more visible, but isn't everything like
desert-y? Maybe. Well, I noticed that the cockatoo is pink.
Maybe they like it for that reason.
They're attracted to it.
But apparently it does sharpen their beak very well.
So this did hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of damage. And of course, Australia, they're known for their vicious animals, but they're also known for their terrible internet.
Their crappy internet.
So a real bad double whammy for poor Australia. They are going to put protective casing on their cables, but it's going to cost them a lot of money.
What if that just sharpens their beaks better?
Could be. What if?
What if they're on Twitter telling the other birds to go sharpen their beaks?
Is Twitter the bird version?
The bird
of Twitter?
Twitter. Yeah. Maybe it's just Blabber, like human Blabber.
Do they have a human icon?
Yeah, it's just like the normal user interface icon of like the person.
Yeah, that would be something. What if the casing gets their beaks so sharp that then they can finally...
They just chomp right through it.
Well, no, it's their final form and they begin killing humans.
That's a world I don't want to live in.
I think that's going to happen. Well, of course, having Krista around, that gives us special insight into user interface and design choices. So I thought this story would be fantastic for her to give us some...
Well, they don't show you the UI though, so I can't say for sure. But basically what happened... This is actually very sad. It was a lot of people died, like 10 sailors died, because the UI on the ship was so bad that the captain accidentally assigned some people where they shouldn't have been, and essentially the ship ended up spinning and hitting another ship.
Yeah, if you look at this layout here, the commanding officer can route control of the ship to any one of these stations that's represented by the little circle. And there was a number of problems. So the throttle of the ship and the rudder of the ship can be commanded separately. He meant to only transfer the throttle to a different station. He transferred both. And then the station that was transferred to, it's a twin engine setup, like a riding lawnmower. And the person thought they were pulling both engines to zero, but they only pulled the left engine to zero.
So basically it just went and reared right into the side of another ship.
Yes. So there was a terrible collision and people were killed because of bad interface and people not understanding the interface.
I'm going to say too, I mean, that I don't know. I have no nautical training, but I'm going to say too, with that interface, like I feel like they should have been trained maybe a little bit better as well.
I think if you're going to be in charge of a ship that costs
however many millions of dollars.
Hundreds of millions of dollars, probably. And there's a possibility of murder. Not murder, but accidental death. Yeah, training.
A little bit of user training. A manual. Reading a manual. An hour-long training session.
Perhaps some testing.
Some user testing to make sure people understand it.
Yeah. Now, one thing people might not understand are your emotes. Now, of course, we're in the age of the emoji. I think I prefer the emoticon to the emoji, personally.
Yeah, I kind of like them as well. I think
they have a lot of personality. You know, like, so like they're working with less. But you've got, you know, the cat eyes, and you got the...
The cat eyes is a favorite of
the
mine.
The zero eyes, and yeah, they're just...
I also like the semicolon dash semicolon, like the crying face. Yes, that one's course. A good one.
Well, it turns out that not everybody understands the emote. Not everybody sees the, you know, colon parentheses. They don't know that's a smiley or a sad.
A sad face.
So they took some people from different countries, some African countries, Japan, and some other countries. And what they figured out was if you're on the internet a lot, if your country has a large internet, what percentage of people in Japan do you think are on the internet?
Probably like 99.9%. I bet even the old people.
94, which is incredible. Oh. And then you have, I think, Tanzania, which was 17.
Yeah.
People
right.
in Tanzania, they don't know what emotes are. They don't get it. You show them a happy face, they're just like, it's just punctuation. You know,
what? Yeah.
It doesn't make any sense to them, which is, you would think that everybody would get it, but not the case.
I could see, like, smiley face and frowny face, I think, are pretty... Well, I say that, but I teach a Sunday school class. I teach 3- and 4-year-olds, and today I was having them do smiley faces and frowny faces, and I said, draw a smiley face. They knew how to do that. As soon as I said, draw a frowny face, they're like, we don't know how to do that.
Really? Didn't know how to turn that...
To turn that, that smile upside down.
That's kind of shocking. Yeah.
Now, I mean, they got it after I showed them. They're like, oh, that's what you mean.
But how many of those kids had iPhones?
Probably none of them, realistically. Really? They've probably been exposed to them to an extent, but they don't have their own.
We did the story last week. It was like 8-year-olds were something like...
Yeah, but these are 3- and 4-year-olds.
Oh, 3 and 4.
They're little. They're little people.
A couple of them have.
Maybe. I'm sure they've used their parents. But yeah, I had to explain to them. Maybe if I'd said like sad face, they would have got it. But I said frowny face, and they're like, we don't know what that is.
Oh, wow.
So maybe it's the same sort of thing. Maybe it was like, maybe they needed the context of being, maybe they just showed them like on a piece of paper.
Maybe you're just a horrible teacher.
That's also probable.
Well, you know who had a frowny face? A big frowny face was Microsoft.
Rip in peace. Some guy had to give a presentation, and he was giving a presentation, I think, I can't remember, what was it about? Was it about specifically about the browser? Or was
No. He was using the browser to showcase software he was working on.
Yeah, and... He ended up couldn't get Edge to work because it kept freezing on him, and he had to download and install Chrome.
This was a Microsoft engineer.
So during his presentation.
Yeah, demoing Microsoft software that's coming up, and had to use Edge to download Chrome to get his software to work.
I feel like, you know how sometimes you watch a TV show or something and you get like secondhand embarrassed for someone?
Yes.
Like when you watch The Office and you watch something with like Michael Scott? That's how I felt reading that article.
Yes.
I got secondhand embarrassed.
That's, you can watch the video. It's very funny. He did a decent job of recovering from it, but really, how can you?
Right? It does look bad when your flagship browser constantly freezes.
You know, there's that old saying that Internet Explorer and Edge are the best browsers in the world for downloading Chrome.
Or Firefox.
That Chrome, of course, 54% of the browser share. So
we do most of our testing in Chrome now.
Yeah, sad day for Microsoft, but I can't say I feel sorry for them. They kind of deserve it.
I mean, yeah, I mean, as many bugs I've had to work out of IE over the years, you know, I'm kind of okay if they suffer a little.
I wouldn't feel too bad about Safari either.
Yeah, Safari. Actually, I feel worse about Safari. Right. I would be okay if it suffered a lot.
Well, that's it for this week. We will join you again next week and have more horribly depressing news.
But also some good news. We had lots of good stories
this week.
You
can't promise that. You can't promise there'll be good news next
week.
There
might be.
And Wendell should be back, so join us then. And remember to check out the 1070 Ti video that we have. And special guest Krista, you've demanded more, and you'll get it. And I'm Ryan.
I'm Krista.
And we'll see you next week.
Thank you.